Welcome to Light of Christ Radio with Pastors Tom and Paula Graves. You're here at the perfect time, as God knew you would be today. We pray what you're about to hear blesses you, challenges you, and draws you closer to your Savior. Once we've reached the end of today's time in God's Word, we'll have some information about how you can learn more about this ministry and where you can find additional audio messages to listen to. You can join us over on Facebook right now to add some encouragement to your newsfeed and to your day. Just search for Light of Christ Radio or follow the Facebook link at our website, lightofchristradio.com. Well, let us get into God's Word as we begin today's edition of Light of Christ Radio.
Welcome to Light of Christ Radio with Tom and Paula Graves.
And this is where we tell a story of the Bible and let it spark some conversation.
We are sponsored by Trinity Church of Golden, Illinois. To learn more about us, go to lightofchristradio.com. That's lightofchristradio.com.
Today, we continue our series, Growing Through Transitions. Transitions are part of life, although they can be challenging.
And God can teach us things in transition to refine us on our faith journey.
Today's story is about the crossing of the Red Sea and trusting God in the transition from Exodus 14.
Well, Paula, as we begin our conversation today, let's look at the context of our story.
God called Moses through a burning bush to be the leader who would take the nation of Israel out of Egyptian slavery.
But it wasn't easy. Pharaoh did not want to let the people go and made their lives more difficult.
So God sent 10 plagues to loosen Pharaoh's grip on God's people. The last plague was the death of the firstborn.
God gave his people instructions to keep safe. It required them to paint the blood of a lamb on their doorpost and stay inside.
At the death of his firstborn, Pharaoh finally relented and allowed the Israelites to leave Egypt.
And God guided his people in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. While they left prepared for war, God took them the way he knew was best.
And now, a story from the Word of God.
God spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn around and make camp at Phi Haroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp on the shore of the sea opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are lost. They're confused. The wilderness was closed in on them. Then I'll make Pharaoh's heart stubborn again, and he'll chase after them. And I'll use Pharaoh and his army to put my glory on display. Then the Egyptians will realize that I am God."
And that's what happened. When the king of Egypt was told that the people were gone, he and the servants changed their minds. They said, "What have we done, letting Israel, our slave labor, go free?" So he had his chariots harnessed and his army gathered. He took 600 of his best chariots with the rest of the Egyptian chariots and their drivers coming along.
And God made Pharaoh, king of Egypt, stubborn, determined to chase the Israelites as they walked out on him without even looking back. The Egyptians gave chase and caught up with them where they had made camp by the sea.
And as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw them, Egyptians, coming at them, and they were totally afraid. They cried out in terror to God, and they told Moses, "Weren't the cemeteries large enough in Egypt so that you had to take us out here in the wilderness to die? What have you done to us, taking us out of Egypt? Back in Egypt, didn't we tell you this would happen? Didn't we tell you, leave us alone here in Egypt? We're better off as slaves in Egypt than corpses in the wilderness."
Moses spoke to the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do his work of salvation for you today. Take a good look at the Egyptians today, for you're never going to see them again. God will fight the battle for you. Just stay calm."
And God said to Moses, "Why cry out to me? Speak to the Israelites. Order them to get moving. Hold your staff high and stretch your hand out over the sea. Split the sea. The Israelites will walk through the sea on dry ground.
Meanwhile, I'll make sure the Egyptians keep up their stubborn chase. I'll use Pharaoh and his entire army, his chariots and horsemen, to put my glory on display so that the Egyptians will realize that I am God."
And this is a story from the Word of God.
Well, Paula, as we begin today, we want to look at our text in a sense of obeying God's guidance in transition.
Well, and I think it's our obedience that helps us move forward in faith, even when we might not understand what God's plan is.
Yeah, it's interesting that the route God used to lead the Israelites out really didn't make sense from a human perspective, but God had a plan.
Right. Their route made it look like they were confused and vulnerable, but to their credit, they were obedient. So in Exodus 14:4, it says the Israelites camped there as they were told.
So God was not leading Israel into defeat, but into a moment of profound revelation of his power as we see our story unfold. And what appeared to be a setback was preparation for deliverance, and he had given Moses the plan.
Now, God would draw the Egyptians into battle and then defeat them, so all, both the Egyptians and the Israelites, would know that he truly is God.
Yeah, Paul, I think this reminds us that obedience is our responsibility, while the results belong to God.
Mm-hmm. Throughout Scripture, the Lord continually teaches this. He wants us to trust him, and he tells us when we do, our lives will unfold in a way that only he could plan and orchestrate.
Yeah, a key indicator of life led by the Holy Spirit is a heart that responds to God's voice in obedience. In other words, we want to follow God. And when the Spirit speaks, he calls us to align with his heart.
Yeah, that we want to do God's will and not our own. And so each act of obedience, whether it's just little and minor or big and significant, really brings us closer to God and enables us to participate in his work here on earth.
And obedience isn't about perfection.
Mm-mm.
It's about responsiveness, because we're not perfect and we do sin, even if we want to do God's will. We have some missteps along the way.
But God knows our hearts. And as the Israelites said yes to God, he again would show his faithfulness by destroying the Egyptian pursuers.
Yeah, and also we see that deliverance doesn't cancel the battle. They were delivered from Egypt, but that doesn't mean the Egyptians are going to stop pursuing them.
Right, because they left slavery, but here there's going to be another battle. And as we see, after the shock of their death of their firstborn, the Egyptians regretted allowing their slave labor to leave, and so they went off to recapture them.
Yeah, and this can be compared to a spiritual journey that we're on, especially for someone maybe coming out of a false religion and who is now a believer in Jesus. And often we assume Satan will release people easily or forget about us once we leave his domain, but that isn't true.
No, I mean, it's just like Pharaoh physically chasing the people of Israel. In the spiritual realm, Satan continues to pursue us, trying to keep us on the edge of his influence. He wants us to do his thing, and he aims to destroy us if it's at all possible.
Yeah, and our battle isn't over because the pressure eases or our circumstances improve. Instead, victory comes as Jesus walks with us in the dark valleys and a lot of times sits with us in our troubles.
And I think that Scripture never promises we won't have trouble once we follow Jesus, but Jesus always promises to be with us. He doesn't necessarily take us around the problem or the valley, but he will walk through it with us.
Yeah, we need to remember, too, as believers, that you're victorious in Christ,
mm-hmm,
because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross at Calvary, that he died for our sins. And when we place our faith in him, we have eternal life. We have victory.
And I think on our faith journey, we have to realize while God may grant us freedom from specific troubles like maybe slavery or addiction, there will be new challenges that will arise.
Yeah, the Christian walk involves ongoing reliance on Christ for daily strength in spiritual warfare and finishing life's race. I mean, that's really the key. We have to continually rely on Christ. And when we don't, that's when we kind of slide backwards in life.
Right, because true victory doesn't mean there will be lack of problems, but true victory is God's presence within us. It happens as God empowers us to lead, transforms lives. He helps us resist temptation, and ultimately, God has given us the gift of eternal victory in Jesus.
Yeah, and God can use the battle of life, the spiritual battle, to train us and strengthen our faith in our relationship with him, because this battle continually pushes us back to Jesus, where our strength really is.
And so I think the challenge for us is really recognizing that, yes, God is in control, and we can safely surrender our will to his sovereignty.
Well, that's the hard part, mm-hmm, surrendering our will and letting God lead us, but that's really what we need to do. And often when difficulties emerge, we try to escape them as fast as possible as people. But this can only make things worse at times.
Right. It's not comfortable. We want to get out of it. But remember, trusting God doesn't mean the end of battles, but he always gives us the assurance of victory, and he will do it in unexpected and surprising ways.
And we also see in our story, and also in our own lives, Paula, that when our old fears often resurface during transition, as much as we don't like that, oftentimes that's what happens.
Israel had left Egypt, but Egypt had not yet left them. And they still had a slave mentality. And so they panicked when they saw Pharaoh's army.
Yeah, it says in Exodus 14, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt?"
And so we see trusting God really involves refusing to let fear pull us back into what he has already delivered us from. That's what Satan wants, and that's part of the battle. But it's not easy.
Yeah, fear has a way of rewriting our memories, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It exaggerates the danger ahead and kind of minimizes the pain that we left behind.
Right. And I think this story reminds us that fear often emerges between the promise and the fulfillment. God had promised them a land that they could be a nation in, and he had taken them out of slavery, but obviously it hasn't been fulfilled yet. They're in transition.
Yeah, we live in an era today when many people are suffering from anxiety and mental stress, and he's really hindered the work of God wants to do in us, especially during times of transition.
So we can see that God needed to heal the Israelites from the trauma of the slavery. It hadn't been an easy life. And so if he could do that for them, we know that he can also do the same for us.
Yeah, and during his ministry, Jesus healed people physically and emotionally and also spiritually.
Mm-hmm. He freed Mary Magdalene from demonic possession. He made her whole. She could follow him and have a relationship with God.
Well, Paula, we need to take a break here. Go to Facebook and like our Light of Christ Facebook page. This will enable you to receive uplifting posts on your daily feed.
Share these posts and the good news of Jesus Christ with your friends. You can be an evangelist with a simple click of a mouse.
Pastors Tom and Paula Graves will return momentarily with more from today's edition of the Light of Christ radio show. If you're enjoying this teaching, you're invited to check out the blog devotionals that accompany each episode. You'll find them on our Facebook page and through lightofchristradio.com. And now let's join Pastors Tom and Paula for the conclusion of today's show.
Well, welcome back and thanks for staying with us. Paula and I were just discussing when old fears resurface in transition.
And understand that the Lord knows your fears. He knows who you are. He understands and he wants to help you. He's aware of any wounds that had happened that could have been caused by people, by circumstances. Maybe the wounds are even caused by your own sin. But he knows what you struggle with, including your habits and addictions, and he wants to heal because these hinder you from experiencing the abundant life he has for you.
Yeah, and God desires to heal your heart now so you can be open to receive all the love and blessings he longs to pour out in your life as you journey with him.
And that's why I think God allows transitions to expose your heart so he can heal them. Because Israel found itself in an unexpected situation, freed from Egypt, yet now stuck between the Red Sea and an approaching army.
Yeah, it's often during transition that we discover what we're made out of. Will we depend on God or we blame him? And this is not just true for the Israelites, it's true for us.
Oh, yeah. Because what spills from their mouths is not praise for deliverance, but fear, accusation, and regret.
Yeah, and when God reveals what's in our hearts, it's an opportunity to repent and turn back to God, even if we face failure.
Right, and here we know that this revealed what they were thinking. Their complaints did not surprise God, nor does our complaint surprise him.
Yeah, and when God reveals what's in our heart, again, as we talked about, it gives us that opportunity. And maybe that's where you're at today. God's revealing some things to you so you repent and turn back to him.
Because if we have an open heart, the work of the Holy Spirit can do its thing, and the Lord can use our failures to get our attention and show us our need for forgiveness and transformation.
Yeah, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Now, God could certainly have prevented the Egyptians from pursuing the Israelites, but he didn't, because he has a way of working things out for his glory. So even when life doesn't go as maybe we planned, and everything seems to be wrong, we can still trust that God can use these situations to help us grow closer to Him and in our faith.
Yeah, when we face circumstances we don't understand, we have a choice. As we talked about a little bit earlier, we can become better or we can become bitter.
Yeah, and so if we allow God to speak to us through our challenges, that's when we can become better. When we don't complain to Him and become bitter, He can change our hearts and we can become better.
Yeah, and that's where we need to stand firm in the face of fear. And we can only do that really in God's strength, because our natural inclination is to kind of retreat in life.
Yeah, I think we see the appearance of Pharaoh's army in our story really panic the people in their fear. They complained. But it's interesting, Moses doesn't even appear to flinch at this criticism.
Yeah, he says in Exodus 14:13, "But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again, and the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.'"
Because I think Moses knew he was going to be in a physical battle, but he was also in a spiritual battle. And he could stand firm because he trusted God to come through. And we too experience spiritual battles, and we need to trust God in order to stand firm.
Yeah, Paul reminds us of that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. "Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil." So the devil's got strategies against us, just like he had against Moses and the Israelites.
But in the heat of battle, how do we remember to trust God like Moses did? I think if we look at him, Moses, God had given Moses a promise when he called him to be the leader of Israel.
Yeah, it says in Exodus 3:12, God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain."
And shortly after God tells him that promise, he also predicts that, oh, as you go, Pharaoh's going to refuse to let them go until his firstborn dies, and then he'll let you go. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, Moses could stand firm because he remembered God's promises and his faithfulness to his promises. So Moses was a person of deep faith, and he trusted God.
And he knew at this point they had come too far not to make it back to the mountain of the burning bush to worship God. And I think in addition, Tom, God continued to show his presence with them.
Yeah, we see the manifest presence of God. It says in Exodus 13:21, "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire."
And so here's just another sign that Moses could trust God to do what he said he would do. It was a sign along the way. So when circumstances look bleak, remember what God has promised, and look for signs of his working as you go towards that.
Yeah, because God, again, fights for us in transition. Even though, again, as we look at our story, they were no longer under their slave masters, they still had kind of a slave mentality that they had to work through.
Right, and it's going to take time for them to become a free nation. And God knew this. He guided their exit from Egypt accordingly.
As it says in Exodus 13:17, "When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land."
And God had said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle.
So the people thought they could fight at the sight of the Pharaoh's army, but they realized they were in a battle. They couldn't win it on their own.
Right, because we know God had allowed this battle. He told them that he would fight for them. And I think even though Moses trusted that God is going to fight for him, he was telling the people that, I'm not sure Moses expected what God was going to do and what his plan was.
Yeah, we pick up the story again in Exodus 14:15. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites.'"
So God had to urge Moses and the people into action. It's like, okay, you're praying, that's good, but it's time to move now. And it's interesting, Tom, what had seemed like a barrier, which is that Red Sea before, is now going to be the escape route for the people.
Yeah, and not only will the sea provide a way for the people to flee, but also be what God will use to destroy the Egyptian army. Only a plan God could come up with.
But it took the people's obedience to have this plan come out. So we can see that really our obedience reveals God's glory.
Yeah, and God has his reasons for his instructions as we see the story unfold. He has a plan, and our obedience in life brings blessings.
Right, because as they left Egypt, God knew what to do. He knew that they would panic if they had to fight a battle. He certainly could have stopped Pharaoh's army, but he didn't, because his plan was to demonstrate his glory through this attack. And actually, if you read all of Exodus 14, God says this three times, I will reveal my glory so they will know that I am God.
Yeah, and Israel's obedience to God's instruction allowed his glory to be seen. And not only did God reveal his glory to Egypt, but also to Israel.
Yeah, because when he parts the Red Sea, they get to walk through on dry land. And then this, we see Israel, Pharaoh's army charging in. You remember that they were camping across from this Baal image across. And I think the Egyptians thought Baal was helping them. So they went in only to realize, no, it was God who was going to do them in.
Yeah, they were in awe of what God could do, which really increased their faith as we see God unfold what's going on.
For the Israelites.
Right.
Yeah.
And all who saw of it really heard and realized that the God of Israel was the Lord. So this was a huge demonstration, not only to the Israelites, but to people around in that whole area.
Right. The Egyptians realized that their gods were idols. No, it was the God of Israel that was the true God, because he was controlling all this. And the people of Israel realized, because they were used to Egyptian idols, no, they weren't the thing to do. It was to follow God.
Yeah, and really the crossing of the Red Sea is seen as really a turning point in Israel's history. And God brought them out of a cruel slavery to their own land. So we see God repeating what he did over and over as we look at the scriptures.
And I think this event foreshadowed how Jesus' obedience would bring us out of our slavery to sin.
Yeah, Jesus' work on the cross is the turning point of the New Testament. As believers, we have a renewed relationship with God for all eternity again, because what Jesus did on the cross, he died for our sins. He paid the price in full.
God could take the Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and God, through the power of Jesus Christ, takes us out of the slavery of sin to have a renewed relationship with him.
Well, Paul, as we end, the nation of Israel was in transition as they left Egypt to become their own nation.
Just because they'd left slavery didn't mean that they would not continue to face battles.
Old fears resurface as transition exposes our hearts, but we can stand firm as we trust our faithful God.
Our God fights for us in surprising and unexpected ways.
Our obedience to his plans will bring blessings and give him the glory.
Well, that's all we have for today on Light of Christ Radio. All our radio programs are archived as podcasts.
These can be found at lightofchristradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, Amazon Music, and TuneIn.
Light of Christ Radio is sponsored by Trinity Church, Golden, Illinois.
Be blessed.
This is the Light of Christ.
Are you new to studying the Bible? You're not alone, and we want you to know that we're glad you joined us today for Light of Christ Radio. We pray that you've learned something new today, and that each edition you join us for brings you closer and closer to a new life that's only found in Jesus. Do you have any questions, or would you like some more information about who we are and what we believe? If so, visit lightofchristradio.com today. You can join us over on Facebook right now to add some encouragement to your newsfeed and to your day. Just search for Light of Christ Radio or follow the Facebook link at our website. That's lightofchristradio.com. We've also created a resource if you're studying along with us in a small group setting. Visit YouTube and search for LOC Radio. There you'll have access to short videos and discussion questions to accompany each radio show. We're adding more and more videos all the time, so be sure to subscribe and be notified of the latest content. We'd also like to encourage you to find a local church that teaches the Bible and will support you as you grow in your faith. If you've enjoyed today's message, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next update. You'll find a link to that on the homepage. And be sure to join Pastors Tom and Paula Graves next time for another edition of Light of Christ Radio.
This is the light of Christ. Who needs a hand, a meal, or a word? Who needs love touched or reassured? Like the sun rises and the darkness disappears, a need that's made.